Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians begins with a strong exhortation by the Apostle Paul regarding our walk. I beseech you, therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, to walk worthily of the calling with which you were called. In the verses that follow verse 1, he goes on to develop just what this walk entails. Finally, in verse 17, he contrasts our walk with that of the unbelievers. This, therefore, I say and testify in the Lord that you no longer walk as the Gentiles also walk in the vanity of their mind. And then, verse 20, after detailing the darkened condition of the mind of the unbelieving world, he adds this marvelous exclamation, "But you did not so learn Christ." Notice he doesn't say, "You did not so learn about Christ." What is it to learn Christ? Ron Kangas is here to help us with this crucial discovery. Ron, welcome back.
This is a crucial discovery, and I would make an appeal at the outset to our listeners that we would not approach these verses and not approach this message and this fellowship with the confidence that we really know very much about what these verses are talking about. Learn Christ. And then we'll see later the lovely expression, as the truth is in Jesus. We should not take these things for granted, but really be poor in spirit and come to the Lord with a seeking spirit, that we may be enlightened by God through the Word concerning learning Christ and living in a way that we express the truth that is in Jesus, lest we lapse or relapse into the vanity of the mind.
Well, Ron, let's come to this portion now today. Again, these items related to this walk that's worthy of the calling with which we were called. Paul's word doesn't give us step-by-step a programmatic plan to adjust our behavior to have such a walk. These items are deep and intrinsic. We've touched the oneness, even the oneness reflective of the oneness in the Godhead, in nature being worked out among the believers. And the second matter, growing up in these inward items and the all things. Now today we come to this matter of learning Christ as the truth is in Jesus. Again, not outward things at all, very inward and organic, aren't they?
Inward, organic, spiritual, divine, intrinsic, not your typical 12-step program. No method. This is too deep and too profound for any human method. So we need to receive a particular grace to really care to get into Paul's thought, which is God's thought, to understand, or at least to begin to understand, what it means to say that we have learned Christ as the truth is in Jesus.
It's a lovely phrase. You just want to hear it over and over. Well, Paul begins in verse 17, as we read, contrasting this learning of Christ with the vanity that is characteristic of a life outside of Christ. Being darkened, verse 18 says, in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance which is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Let's join Witness Lee. He will develop this point.
Now, from verse 17, another paragraph begins. This is all-inclusive word indicating what the fallen human life is. The fallen human life is just a walk in the vanity of the human mind. In the eyes of God, whatever is in the mind is vanity, nothing real, just emptiness, nothing solid. And the function of the mind, that's their understanding, is darkened. It's not clear. This is today's human race. And this is today's world. You know, God's intention was that man would take the fruit of the tree of life, that man might have the eternal life of God. But man got fallen, and Satan's evil nature was injected into man's being. So man was kept away from the tree of life, and that means estranged from the life of God. Through the redemption of the Lord Jesus, the way to go back to the tree of life was cut. We have been brought back. Then it also says, because of the ignorance which is in them. Not only no knowledge, but it also means no willingness to know. Before you were saved, you didn't have the knowledge, neither you had the willingness to know. But today we have. We have the desire to know God, the more the better. This is a great mercy. Within them, there is not only the ignorance, but also the hardness. The conscience has ceased from function. They have given themselves up to all kinds of lust. And this lust could never be satisfied. You look at today's world. This is the background of the Gentiles.
Ron, this is another one of those instances where Paul, in a very short space, paints a very black background before he presents something quite vivid as a contrast. Let's talk about this condition that the whole world is in, and that, of course, we ourselves were in outside of Christ, related to the vanity of our minds. And I think vanity here is a key word, isn't it?
It is. Emptiness, meaninglessness, devoid of reality. Here you have alienation from the life of God, ignorance, a matter of darkness, the hardness of the heart, casting off the feeling of the conscience, walking according to the vanity of the mind. But there's a point I'm burdened to make here. It would be very easy for our listeners to say, this has nothing to do with me any longer. This is a description of the unsaved persons. Well, it is a description of unsaved persons, but Paul admonishes believers to no longer walk, as the Gentiles also walk, in the vanity of their mind. And I would like to say now, in all genuineness, the vast majority of believers walk in the vanity of the mind, are indistinguishable from the worldly people in so much of their thinking. We need Paul's word applied to us. You see, we were born of God through our believing into Christ, through the God-given faith, and that birth took place in our spirit, and now the Lord is with our spirit. We are one spirit with Him. Our regenerated human spirit is mingled with the regenerating Spirit of God. And if we walk in the Spirit, and this Spirit becomes the Spirit of the mind, that's a matter for a later program, then we are walking in God Himself. But if we are not in the Spirit, if we are just in ourselves, especially in the mind, Chris, this means that in our living, we're no different from the Gentiles. We also walk that way.
Right.
And then we are alienated from the life of God in our experience. And we are in ignorance and in darkness, and our heart may be hardened. This is the sad, even tragic reality. It is not uncommon to receive emails or to read things written by dear believers criticizing this or that and arguing about this or that. And the sad thing is, it's all in the vanity of the mind. That Paul's burden here is not simply to describe the life of fallen persons. He did this adequately in chapter 2. His burden is to tell us, don't keep walking that way. Do not walk in the vanity of the mind. When you are in this realm, none of the divine things is real. So I think this is sufficient.
Yeah.
But let us read Ephesians 4 again. That word no longer implies we may still do this.
That's right.
We need to be delivered from the vanity of the mind, walk in the Spirit, in the oneness of the body as we're growing into Christ, having learned Christ as the truth is in Jesus. This is a desperately urgent matter.
Yeah, he's not saying there as a statement of fact that we are no longer walking, but as you use the right word, it's an admonition that we not fall back into this pattern. And it could be even having our mind occupied with so-called good things, but it is in principle the exact same type of mental activity that is going on in the minds of the unbelievers. And in that condition, it's impossible for us to learn Christ, as we're about to see, isn't it?
Impossible. Instead of a renewed mind, there's the vain mind. And with the vain mind, there is not the truth as it is in Jesus. This is a very practical matter of whether we are in the Spirit and set our mind on the Spirit, according to Romans 8:6, and experience the renewing of the mind, according to Ephesians 4:23. There's a big difference between living this way and just not being in the Spirit at all and walking in our unrenewed mind, which is the same as the unbelievers. What we're saying, if we do not experience the renewing of the mind and walk in the Spirit and not in the vanity of the mind, there is no way for us to live in the reality of the body of Christ or in the practicality of the one new man. It's that crucial.
Well, as Paul makes a turn here to the positive, we want to as well in this coming section and really focus on verses 20 and 21. Again, to repeat, because I like the sound of these words and because they're full of deep and profound meaning for us, but you did not so learn Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him as the reality or the truth is in Jesus. Let's go to Witness Lee.
In the New Testament, the Lord Jesus didn't come into us directly as our life. He didn't do this. Firstly, he came to live 30 years and to minister 3.5 years. In those 33.5 years, he set up a pattern, a mold, to show us a kind of life or a kind of living that can satisfy God and that can fulfill God's purpose. After he set up this pattern, then the time was ripe for him to go to the cross. Then he entered into resurrection. It is in resurrection he entered into us to be our life. You know, the New Testament tells us what is to be saved. To be saved is to be put into Christ by God. 1 Corinthians 1:30 tells us, it is of God that we are in Christ. When God saved us, he put us into Christ. He put us into a mold. We are pieces of dough. We all have been put into the mold. I do believe very few among us have this concept. In Romans 8, that we may be conformed into the image of the firstborn. That indicates the firstborn was a pattern and he was a mold. God takes his firstborn son as a pattern, as a mold, and he puts all of us into this pattern to mold us into the image of Christ. This is what the apostle means to learn Christ, as the truth is in Jesus. The nations, they walk in the vanity of the mind. But we believers live a life as the truth is in Jesus. So the truth here is in contrast to the vanity in verse 17. The nations walk in the vanity, but we live in the truth. When the Lord Jesus was living on this earth, he didn't walk in any vanity. He walked in the truth. That is the shining of the divine light. And that truth is the expression of God. In other words, the Lord Jesus lived and walked in the expression of God. And we learned him according to this truth, which was there in Jesus.
Ron, admittedly, this is not an easy portion to really get a hold of. I'll come back to a phrase he said here. He said, "I do believe very few among us have this concept. When you were saved, God put you into a mold. That is Christ." And then he relates it to Romans 8:29, where we are being conformed to the image of the firstborn. If you would pick it up from that point.
I'll do my best. The Lord Jesus, in his living on earth as the first God-man, set up a pattern or a mold for us today. This is why when we read the Gospels, we are drawn to him and we aspire to be like him. So first we need to see that the living of the God-man, Jesus Christ, is a mold and a pattern for us. Second, when we responded to the moving of the Spirit and heard the preaching of the gospel and believed into Christ, we were saved and born of God. According to 1 Corinthians 1:30, God has put us into Christ. And in our experience, this takes place through believing into him and through being baptized into him. But the point we want to emphasize is that Christ in his living formed a mold. Now, God has put us into Christ, and in so doing, has put us into the mold established by the Lord Jesus. And it is by being conformed to this mold, as dough is conformed to a mold, that we learn Christ. Now, what do we learn? This is the third point and last I would mention. We learn that the life of Jesus had two particular characteristics. One, he always denied himself and rejected his natural life and lived by the Father's life, a life in resurrection. So to learn Christ is to learn Christ as the one who always denied himself and lived to God, even lived God. Second, we learn that the life of Jesus is characterized by truth, by reality. And this reality is God. And the source of truth, of reality, is God shining as light. So in the life of Jesus, there is reality, light, truth, genuineness, sincerity. Why? because everything he was and said and did were in God, through God, and by God. So we learn Christ, that is, we learn the mold of his living, as this marvelous truth is in the Lord Jesus. So we learn that to live the Christian life normally is to live a reproduction of the living of Jesus in the divine reality, in the divine truth, in the divine light. This kind of living is a life of reality. It involves the righteousness and holiness of the reality. And this reality, this truth that is in Jesus and is now gradually developing in us, is diametrically opposed to the vanity of the mind. So Paul, in sum, is saying, to have a walk that is worthy of your calling, you need to realize you have learned Christ by being in him as the mold. And the Christ you have learned is a Christ full of reality, full of God, and full of light. And when we live this Christ in the body, under the head, we live a life in the divine reality, expressing God as reality, truth, and light. This is, I must admit, is my inadequate attempt to try to comment on this matter. And now just a footnote. We learn Christ by being in him as a mold. As we are conformed to this mold, that is, conformed to his image, we gradually realize that the life of Jesus is a life of reality. And therefore, we reject a life of vanity and aspire to live a life of reality, of truth, of light. That is a life that is the expression of God.
Ron, I'd like to close today with a very short portion from the printed life study. It's actually a message right after this one, but these two really flow into one point here and leave that as somewhat our concluding word today. He says, learning Christ in this way is altogether different from taking him as an objective example and endeavoring in our natural life to imitate him. God has put us into the mold formed by the life of Jesus on the earth. Simultaneously, Christ, as the life-giving Spirit, has come into our being. The more we love him and contact him, the more we live him according to this mold. This is a kind of learning that cannot be accomplished by any effort on our part, can it, Ron?
This is not by self-effort, by outward imitation. This is by allowing the Spirit of God to conform us to the mold of the life of Christ, to the mold of the image of Christ as the firstborn Son of God. The more we are conformed to this mold in our experience, the more we understand and realize what kind of person he is, what kind of life he lived, and we appreciate more and more a life filled and saturated and radiant with the divine reality, the reality of the expressed God.
Amen. Well, lest we confuse things by speaking any more words, I'm satisfied we would stop here. And as always, you have my thanks for participating and hope you'll join us again very soon.
I look forward to that.
Thanks, Ron. That's our program for today. We are out of time. We invite you to contact us. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to get these printed messages and all of the resource material into your hands. We know many of you enjoy it so very, very much. Thank you for joining us today. And for Ron Kangas, I'm Chris Wilde.